access and open our hearts that we're receptive towards it. We just ask for all these things in your name. Amen. The reading of today's word, the first reading comes from Ezekiel 17, verses 22 through 24. It's found on page 834 of your pew Bible. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. It will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will come, or it will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All of the trees of the field will know what I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make it the low, and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. The second reading is from Matthew 13, 31 through 35. And it's found on page 969 of the Pew Bible. It's the parable of the mustard seed. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. These are the words of the Lord.
Well, we grow some big vegetables in Alaska. Did anybody see that record-breaking pumpkin that was in the news last month? At the state fair in Palmer, a man broke his own record by 600 pounds with a 2,051-pound pumpkin. That is a crazy big pumpkin. Well, we've got lots of gardeners and farmers in town, and the harvest has been going on for a while already. If you're inclined to buy local vegetables, you've probably been out to the farmer's market and seen the Henderson's table and some other local gardeners and farmers. A couple of weeks ago, I bought a lettuce that was this big. And the zucchinis, I'm sure you've all seen those big fat zucchinis, and I also just got a bag of big fat carrots somebody shared with me from another local farm. And now the harvest is just about over. Yesterday, the farmers market had their last day for the season, and people are bringing in the last of their crops and storing them up for winter. But if you think back to last spring, when it was time to plant, and think about those seeds that were planted. What a difference. I don't really know what a zucchini seed looks like, but I know what lettuce and carrot seeds are. Tiny. And compared to a one-ton fruit, a pumpkin seed, though not as tiny, is like nothing. It's pretty incredible when you think about seeds and then the plants and the fruit that come from them. Now, a mustard seed is not literally the smallest seed, but it was a common figure of speech in Jesus' day to say as small as a mustard seed. It was the epitome of smallness. And then it would grow into a shrub, but it could grow up into 6 to 8 feet, even 10 feet, like a tree. So Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to the seed. Tiny. Well, that doesn't seem fair. The kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, God in his majestic glory, as small as that? Well, remember, the kingdom of heaven has sort of a double meaning, and I'm repeating myself from my sermon a month ago, so you've heard this before. It is the place where God rules, a sphere of existence where Jesus is acknowledged as Lord and people willingly live as his servants. But it is also a time, as yet a future time, when God will come fully into his rule. As the Creator God, he has the right to rule all things. But for the time being, others usurp the throne. Some of them are human earthly rulers and authorities who refuse to acknowledge God. Others are unseen spiritual powers who seek to undo God's good work. Nevertheless, there are places on earth where God is already ruling, where heaven and earth meet, or if you like, God's future breaks into the world now. And Jesus said that in him, in his life and ministry, his miracles and teachings, the kingdom of God was breaking in, already here, at least in part. So if, in the parable of the mustard seed, Jesus was saying something about himself and his ministry while he walked the earth, yes, it was pretty small. He was, after all, only one person in a pretty small area of the world, mostly hanging out in Galilee. He preached to crowds and healed many and fed the multitudes, but in the scheme of things, he had a pretty small following. We think of him as having a certain amount of fame at the grassroots popular level, but Jesus' reputation, if he had any, among important people in high places, was as a troublemaker. His impact on them was dubious. Herod was interested and wanted to meet and hear him, but Pontius Pilate found him innocuous, and the higher-ups in Rome probably didn't know him at all that we know of. But even if you can argue that he had a large following among the people, think about his message, the gospel. His good news was upside down and backwards from what anyone expected of a Messiah or of God's promise to rescue his people. He didn't come with strength and violence, wealth, or a big campaign to elicit popularity. His message was that the kingdom had come near in him, and if you were going to be a part of it, you had to strive to be last, not first. A servant, not the master. Love others above yourself. Give, not take. Be willing to be used up, like he was, even to give up your life. Whoever would find your life will lose it. If you want to follow me, take up your cross, an instrument of death, and follow. Now how big do you think his following was? How popular, how big is the seed of the kingdom of heaven? But it doesn't matter, because the seed, no matter how unpromising or unattractive it looks, has an unexpected characteristic. It's alive, and it grows. And Jesus promises that from a very small seed, the smallest of seeds, a large tree will grow, so large that it overshadows the rest of the garden and provides shelter for the birds of the air. The birds would have liked to eat that seed, but now it welcomes them into its sheltering branches. Just like that 2,000-pound pumpkin, something spectacular and gigantic comes from that little seed. Just so with the kingdom of God. The seed was planted. God planted it in Jesus' disciples who were in the world, and the kingdom of God is still active and present in the world today. And it doesn't just have staying power. Christianity is the world's largest religion, and it has an influence, especially in the Western world, on over people, society, and government. Likewise, the yeast that a woman hid in her flour was small. Apparently, Jesus was referring to a sourdough-like method, where a little bit of dough left over from the last batch was kept, and it fermented, and it was put into the flour for the next baking. It was just a small handful, but she added it to 60 pounds of flour. 60 pounds! No wonder he says she hid it in the dough. No kidding, a little fistful of yeast would get swallowed up by 60 pounds of flour. But as she works it in, it works on the whole batch, all of it touched, affected, and changed by it. It rises and grows to such a big batch of dough that it could feed over 100 people, all because of a little leaven that was mixed in. It turns out nourishing, flavorful, inviting, and big. Both parables highlight the contrast in size from the starting point to the end. The end product is disproportionate to the beginning, the seed. So even if Jesus' life story doesn't look like much, or he seems obscure and his followers unimportant, he reassures them that something is happening. And in the end, it will be really big. Later, Paul would write in superlatives, not about the kingdom of God in so many words, but still, anyone experiencing what he writes about would surely be in the kingdom, or at least touched by it. In Ephesians, Paul says, God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Immeasurably more. We have a little faith, a little bit of will to obey him, but he does immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. In another place, Paul talks about the peace that transcends all understanding. And back again to Ephesians, the love of God and Jesus Christ is so wide and long and high and deep. It's love that surpasses knowledge. These are Paul's words, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The kingdom of God is worthy of grandiose description. Also, in both parables, growth occurs. The tree grows and the bread rises, and you can't stop it. Once that seed's planted, it's going to grow. Once you put the sourdough starter in with the flour and water, you can't pull it back out. It's in there to stay. I'll not forget the first time I got pregnant. We wanted a family, so we were happy. But I also remember almost a feeling of dread. We've reached a point of no return. Once the seed was planted, so to speak, there was no going back. We were having a baby, whether we were ready for it or not. That's how it is with the kingdom of God. It is growing, and it won't be stopped. And it's kind of like that baby. I wasn't doing anything to make it grow. He just knew what to do to grow and develop. Same with waiting for the bread to rise. You just set it aside, cover it up in a warm place, and the rising happens. God is at work growing his kingdom. And although he invites us in, and he invites us to have a role in facilitating growth in ourselves and others and in our church, he is the one who is causing all the growth. I hope this is encouraging news to you, that the kingdom of heaven won't be stopped because the seed has been planted, the yeast has been worked into the dough, and God is making sure of the growth. And the process is also transformative. The seed is not only much smaller than the finished product, but it looks completely different. It's not like we plant a tiny little tree and it grows up to a bigger tree. The seed was smooth and round, just a tiny bead. But the tree has shape and color, all covered with bark, and it branches out to the sky with leaves and fruit and more seed. That flat, sticky mixture of flour and water, when the yeast has done its job, becomes a puffed up, smooth, elastic dough. And after the baking, a delicious, airy loaf of bread. When a person has been touched by the kingdom of heaven, they change. They saw it right there. Jesus went around healing people, making them whole, making blind eyes see and crippled legs leap. He forgave sinners and told them to go and sin no more. Moving ahead in time to Paul again, he talks about how he himself was the worst of sinners. And though he doesn't admit to being the best of saints, he knows he's no longer what he was. He's been transformed, and there's no going back. His letter to the Romans urges us to let ourselves be transformed too by the renewing of our minds, which happens when we have the Spirit of Christ Jesus in us. And the transformation isn't just for individuals. Whole communities and societies can be transformed as the kingdom of God spreads out, touching each person with compassion and love. The church, scholars are quick to point out, is not the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is much broader than just the church. But surely the church is part of the kingdom. And as such, we are in our neighborhoods, in our town, as yeast in dough, a transforming agent. I remember when we first applied to become a church in the Eco-Presbyterian denomination. We had to answer questions about our mission in a narrative form. And one particular paragraph in our answer seemed to stand out to the people who interviewed us. And it said this: individuals in our congregation express their Christian love through many avenues in the community of Haines. Although you may not look around Haines and see the Presbyterian Church has done this or that specifically, our people are ministering to our neighbors through many volunteer and career opportunities. We recognize and wholeheartedly support these individual ministries as our brothers and sisters share Christ's love through prayer, service, peer counseling and mentoring, and financial assistance when needed. This is what we're called to and what we need to do more of, finding those places, those people who need God's love, need to be made aware of His kingdom and brought into it, and lovingly, compassionately attending to their needs. Jesus didn't say, "You are the yeast of the earth," but in this way, as Christians live and work and volunteer and serve with our neighbors, we bring Jesus with us, and He expands His kingdom and transforms the whole community. And so the kingdom grows. So the parables teach us that the kingdom begins small but has a huge end, and that in between there's growth brought about by God, and it's not going to be stopped, and it's transformational. They also teach us patience. Growing a tree from seed and baking bread from scratch are both long processes. You have to wait for it to happen. Sorry, Dana, those trees were not going to grow today. Sometimes we see bad stuff happening in the world, and we want God to do something about it. Why doesn't He do something about it? Well, what if God did do something about right now about all of the wrong, all of the sin in the world? Are you really ready for God to punish someone every time they do wrong? Every mistake, every stray thought or crooked motive, every time you give in to temptation, there He is judging it. Don't we want a little time to let His Spirit work on us and our loved ones a little more so that we're prepared for His kingdom when it does come in its fullness? When we look at it that way, we might be more patient because we see that God is patient. In fact, Peter said in one of his letters, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some consider slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And so we have to wait for the kingdom of God to come. This is that one side of the already not yet kingdom that Dana preached about a month ago. And where we were taught to have hope, we also need patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit that we need to pray for and cultivate. We practice patience whenever we trust God with the timing of anything, pronouncing judgment, growing His character in us, bringing healing, answering prayer, and especially bringing His kingdom in full. So it's going to be big. There's growth, and we have to wait for it patiently. And the last thing these parables tell us is that it's going to involve death, or at least losing oneself. The yeast gets hidden in the dough. It's no longer itself, an independent, disconnected little fermented bit of sourdough. Hidden in the flour and water mixture, it gets incorporated, unrecognizable. It becomes completely one with the rest of the dough. And regarding the mustard seed, I thought of another seed that Jesus talked about, saying, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only one seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And isn't that just what Jesus did? He was willing to lose himself and be planted like a seed here on earth to bring the kingdom of God to us. He was willing to become human of the Jewish nation, in fact, to become Israel, to fulfill Israel's God-given task that they were unable to accomplish. They were to be the kingdom of priests, standing in the gap between God and the nations, reconciling one to the other so all the world would be blessed. But they became corrupt and sinful, as bad as the pagan nations they hated so much, and unable to fulfill their destiny. So Jesus came, putting aside his glory, and he did what Israel could not. He stood in the gap, the true priest, to make us humans acceptable to God and make the way for God to come to us. But he had to give up so much to do it. He left his father's side, left his glory behind, became unrecognizable as God, and became one with us. And then he had to be like the seed and die, all so that the kingdom of heaven could be born and grow and become like the biggest of garden trees. So, Church of Jesus Christ, have faith. The gospel you have, which is the love of God for people given us in Jesus Christ, no matter how small it seems, is true. It's good, and it is having an effect. So live as if, and tell people the Creator God loves you, accepts you, and forgives you. And in the end, the kingdom is going to be so big, so healthy and welcoming, nourishing and sheltering for all kinds of people. We'll all look back on the little seed that was planted, the beginnings of the kingdom in Jesus and his little following, and be amazed. Amen.